Morning, I want to speak on the subject of the third shelf stimulant. The third shelf stimulant. If you are like most people, you use the third shelf of your cabinet, whether in the kitchen or bathroom or other place, for things that you either don't want your children to get hold of, like medicine, or things that you seldom use. The third shelf is always harder to reach than the other two shelves, and you place things there that you probably will not have much use for, and on the third shelf are placed things that you seldom pay much attention to. I'm going to end this message, Ask Your Patience and Tolerance, as I preach, because I'm going to be using one word over and over. And I hope not to the point that you say, if I hear that word one more time, I'm going to scream or turn the radio off. But it's a word that I have to use. I can't find another good word besides the word I'm going to use, and that word is stimulate. And my goal is to get you to make more use of a stimulant that you have placed on the third shelf. Now, this is the kind of sermon that I'm going to have to set the stage for if it is to make any sense and you're to understand it. When God created Adam, He gave him a spiritual appetite. And that appetite was for the spiritual man. Also, when he was created, God gave unto him a natural appetite. And that, of course, would supply the things of the natural man. For instance, the Garden of Eden was provided for the needs of the natural man, and God in the garden provided for the needs of the spiritual man. Now, following Adam's sin and fall, there was a third dimension added to his life. That is, there was a lustful appetite, and this was to provide the desires of the carnal man. So now we have man as spiritual man, physical man, and carnal man. Thus we are faced with a three-shelf person. On the lower shelf are provided things for the carnal man. On the second shelf, you have provided things for the natural man. On the third shelf, you have things provided for the spiritual man. Now, Satan would love for us, and the world also, used by Satan, to make the first shelf the most used and the most stocked with stimulants to promote delight for the flesh and the lust of the flesh. In other words, Satan wants us to have the easiest access and the easiest to reach items placed on the lower shelf, those that would first grab our attention. And we have all forms of mass media today that make the attempt to try to stimulate certain activities to satisfy the desires and the cravings and the appetite of the carnal man. For instance, you have movies and all kinds of suggestions that come into your mind from various sources that you should get rid of your wife and get you another one. Something's wrong with your husband, so get rid of him and get you another. Or get revenge. Or be abusive. Or participate in immoral conduct. Or to lie and cheat and steal. I mean, there's so many things that the world provides for us that satisfy the carnal man. And so the Bible repeatedly reminds God's people to abstain from all appearance of evil. We are told to resist the devil, simply meaning don't expose yourself to sights and sounds and suggestions that can stimulate the carnal man to crave lustful conduct and evil ways. And so these stimulants, folks, are within easy reach. All you have to do is turn on your TV dial, and there they are. Pick up a magazine, go to a magazine rack, wherever you, I mean, they're easy access, folks. They're right, laid out there right in front of you, all over the place. Everywhere you walk, there are things that can stimulate the carnal man to get into sinful, evil, wicked, unrighteous conduct in the eyes of God. Now, on the second shelf are all the multitude of things that can stimulate the natural man. And this is not the same for everybody. And none of these things are evil in themselves. If I asked you, do you have any stimulants in your house? How would you answer me? Well, let me ask you this. Do you like to eat? Certain few foods stimulate your taste buds. If I mentioned a certain food this morning, it would probably trigger in you a hunger for that food. Now, for me, it's ice cream. I know I'm a little weird in this, but I can never get enough ice cream. Now, of course, the right flavor. But, I mean, I can never get... I could probably eat a gallon a day or more than that. If it wouldn't make me as big as a blimp, I would just live. I love ice cream. I mean, I can buy half a gallon, eat the whole half a gallon at one time, and then go back and look for another. I mean, I love ice cream. But that's for the natural man. As for some folks, their daily natural stimulant would be a case of Cokes, or Dr. Pepper, or a barrel of coffee. I mean, do you have something that delights your natural man? All of us do. There's something that delights your eyes. There's something that interests your mind in the natural realm, in the natural world. Maybe it's a favorite chair. Maybe it's a favorite room in the house. It may be something you treasure. It may be a painting on the wall. It may be a certain piece of music. Well, we have a piano in our house. It's a I don't forget what you call it. It plays piano roll. A player piano. And we have a lot of rolls of paper, you know. They got holes punched in it. It plays the piano for you. That's the only way I can play a piano is a piano roll. But there's one song that's on that piano rolls that I really like. And I can listen to it over and over. It appeals to the natural mind, the natural man, the natural rhythm that I have. And that is Music Box Dancer. I love that tune. Especially played on our Rinky Dink player piano. Maybe it's a dog. Maybe it's a cat. Maybe it's a hobby. Maybe it's a sport. Maybe it's shock till you drop. I mean, if something appeals to the natural man in you, I don't know what it is. Maybe it's polishing your car. Maybe it's driving your car. Maybe it's riding your motorcycle. But all of us have various things that turn us on that are a part of the natural man, appeal to the natural man. Something that delights us, something that thrills us, things that make life worth living, something that will bring you that moment of joy during the day. All of us have things that the natural man partakes of that we enjoy. And so we devote much of our time to multitudes of activities which we find to stimulate our natural man and give us just a better day. Now, again, I want to place the stimulants for the natural man on the second shelf. The first shelf were things for the carnal man. As far as I'm concerned, they should never be touched. They are thrown away, removed from the cupboard, but they won't be. And then on the second shelf, we have everything that's interested to the natural man. Now, for the majority of people, these are the only two shelves they're aware of in their cabinet. Either something will stimulate their carnal man or something will stimulate their natural man. And they have no idea or conception that there is a third shelf on their cabinet. They have no idea that they also have a spiritual man. But it wouldn't matter if they did know, because the spiritual man, according to the Bible, is dead. Now, there's no way in the world that you can stimulate a dead man. It just can't be done. So why bother? And for most people, you're right, preacher. We're just going to ignore the third shell. We're going to ignore the spiritual man because as far as we're concerned, we're going to bury him up there on the third shelf. Let me ask you this. Which of the three shelves do you think God is most interested in? Where are you going to find God most of the time on these three shelves, or in these three shelves? Now, we pray. Most of the time, they think, well, I sure hope it's God is mostly interested in the second shelf. Providing the natural man with health and good things and benefits and blessings and treasures and pleasures. I mean, I pray an awful lot that God take care of the natural man. Most of my prayers are protection or protect me from all harm, and I'm praying for the natural man. So I really hope God is focusing on the second shelf. And of course, we know he's never going to be interested in the first shelf. He's not going to help anybody be carnal. He's not going to invite anybody to participate in carnal activity. He's not going to suggest that we sin. He's not going to assist us to be sinners. So we know he's not going to care about the first shelf. I mean, he'd like to destroy it. In the second shelf, that's the only one we hope he's concerned about. And as far as the third shelf, well, that's just kind of a blank. But that's the one you see God is mostly concerned about, is the third shelf, where dwells the spiritual man. It's here that God does his greatest work. It's here that God performs his miracles. Now, to begin with, God wants to restore life to the dead man on the third shelf, the third person, the third man. Needs a resurrection, brought back to life. And so God desires to give that man a new life. We normally call this in the church, he needs to be born again. And that makes him a new man. Makes him a child of God. Now, this happens, and you've heard this many times, but it happens, that is the spiritual man is brought from death to life when a man accepts Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and repents and seeks the life that God can give him. As a result, he is born again. Now, the spiritual man is created in such a way that only God can stimulate him. It takes an act of God to provide the new man a stimulant that can provide the new man with joy and delight and peace and contentment and excitement. As one songwriter stated, joy unspeakable and full of glory. Other songs come to my mind. I get so thrilled with Jesus. I can paraphrase that. I get so stimulated with Jesus that it produces in my spirit man a thrill beyond explanation. It's unspeakable. I cannot explain it. A familiar song most of us know is "He Touched Me." Or I could say, in other words, "He stimulated me." And oh, the joy that floods my soul. The joy comes from the stimulation given to me through Christ. Jesus is all the world to me. Jesus is my stimulation. My life, my joy, my all. Everybody wants joy. And everything we do, whether we please the flesh or please the natural man or please the spiritual man, it's to gain joy. And here's a source of joy that can only come from God. Now, the divine stimulant is Jesus Christ. And Jesus had this idea of Him being a stimulant of the spiritual man when He spoke these words found in John 7, 37, 38. If any man thirst, if any man thirst, if any man wants to be happy, if any man wants a source of joy, if any man wants a source of refreshment, let him come to me. Come where? To the world? No. To the flesh? No. If any man, spiritual man, wants to have joy, let him come to me and let him drink. And he that believes on me, as the scriptures have said, out of his belly shall flow, and I won't change this now, shall flow something that stimulates him to provide him this refreshment and joy. The Bible verse reads, he that believes on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. A continual supply of stimulation. Jesus had the same thing in mind in John 15:11 when he says, these things that I've said to you, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. Paul also refers to this same idea in the letter he wrote to the Ephesians, chapter 5, verse 18, and be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. All of us know that alcohol is a stimulant. And Paul says, well, so is the Holy Spirit a stimulant. A far exceeding, higher, better, superior stimulant, but nevertheless still a stimulant. Not for the natural man, not surely for the carnal man, but for the spiritual man. And it's to the Holy Spirit the spiritual man looks for his excitement, for energizing, for happiness, for that thrill within, that joy within. That he looks to the Holy Spirit to provide that stimulant that it might be obtained. But always the Spirit is going to draw our attention to Jesus Christ. For it is Jesus Christ that is the appealing aspect of the spiritual man. He is always the ingredient in some way, form, or fashion. He will stimulate the spiritual man through the aid of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will stir our thoughts about something Jesus did, Jesus said, Jesus is. And from that will come the stimulation that will provide us the thrill and the high, spiritual high, that's available to us on the third shelf. Psalms 34:8, oh, taste and see. Go to the third shelf and you can find something there that you can taste. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Happy is the man that tastes of the Lord. Happy is the man that trusts in the Lord. Now, nothing in and of itself can stimulate the spiritual man without God's assistance. And it doesn't take Christians very long to realize this. We realize that the spiritual man's on the third shelf, but how many spiritual men are stimulated and filled with joy and can truly sing, these songs, joy unspeakable and full of glory, and I get so thrilled with you. I mean, these are songs that we sing, but how many of us can honestly testify that is my experience? Nothing in and of itself spiritual can produce this spiritual high. It has to be done directly by an intervention of God Himself at the moment. He must come down. He must stir our thoughts. He must stir our imaginations. He must stir our emotions. He has to stir the waters. He has to stimulate us at the moment if the joy, if the refreshment, if the water is to flow. He must work up our joy. He must wake up our fitness, and He must provide us that transformation. It has to be done by Him on the spot. So how does He do this? Well, let's go back to Paul's words to the Ephesians. Ephesians 5 again, verse 18 again, but I'll add to it verse 19, which answers the question, how does God do this? And be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. And you do this by speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Now, I have to be honest with you and confess this, that not all hymns and not all gospel songs stimulate my spiritual man. I'll be honest with you, they don't. I don't get a spiritual high every time I hear a Christian song. I do not. I wish I did. It doesn't work that way. The other night, my wife and I were in a garage. We have a workroom out there. She has a craft, and I work with her. And she has a little TV. It's still black and white with an antenna on it. You know, it's a very, very, very poor example of a TV today. But anyway, that's all we had out there. And so, the phone went out, but the TV part just went kablinko, gone. But it also has with it a radio. So we just switched from the bad TV with half a picture and no picture now to the radio. So she turned to the dial to the station that plays gospel music. And I was working at a table, and the music was being played, But for this time, though, they had a real good mix of songs. By mix, I mean good words and good tunes. It takes both of these to get my attention. Good tune and good words. And about 30 minutes went by, and I caught myself listening more and more and more to those songs. And getting my mind more and more off what was to the natural man my hobby, my craft. And as it kept on playing, I said, uh-oh. I'm forgetting about my natural interest, and all of a sudden my mind is getting caught up in these songs. And I began to sense my whole attitude. The songs were beginning to provide a means whereby God was saying, hey, I think, Billy, I'm going to visit you. But let's go to the third shelf. Let's go to the third shell. And about an hour passed, and by that time, man, I was excited and rejoicing in the Lord. My mind was completely focused on Christ. It was the best part of that whole day. I mean, I got touched through the songs by the Master's hand. Now, this doesn't happen all the time. But I can tell you this, I can tell you when it does happen, no doubt in my mind. I know when the Lord is drawing near and making His presence known, I know when there is stimulation from above touching the spiritual man. I can tell it as well as daylight to dark. My thinking, my thoughts, my feelings, my emotions, I mean, they all get caught up in this stimulation when I find the Holy Spirit revealing Christ to me, and he becomes the major focus of my attention at that moment. Not the craft, not the room, not the time, but all of a sudden, there was a difference in my day. I don't know how to explain it to you. But I know when somehow I am being given stimulation to the spiritual man. Now, the same thing can happen in other forms of worship. I believe the verse that Paul mentions here about the hymns and the songs, he's talking about an aspect of worship. And so I would assume it's happening. I would assume that you can have the same stimulation from meditation if you'll take the time to do it. Not all the time, but there will be times when your meditation really turns into your self-made sermon. I mean, you really enjoy it. You begin to preach, but you don't ever preach. And you can have the same thing happen when you listen to somebody preach, and something is said by that preacher that just triggers, that just stimulates a thought in your mind, and from then on you forget everything the preacher's saying. You know what he's saying. But all of a sudden the Lord is preaching his own little sermon to you. And you're sitting there, boy, and you're having all these thoughts, and you ain't having a good time. And then you forgot what the preacher's talking about. You lost him, but you're having your own little service all by yourself. And you're enjoying it. Good. The thoughts are stimulating to you. Same thing can happen in prayer. Same thing can happen when you read the Bible. It doesn't always happen, but it can. Or when you hear somebody give a testimony. Or when you go out and perform some kind of service to the Lord. Oftentimes I find when I preach, I hope I'm on the third shelf. And I hope the Lord can stimulate my mind till I get excited about the things that I'm saying. I enjoy it. I really enjoy preaching when I feel like the Lord is putting thoughts in my mind. If it's not, I'm bored. And I feel dry and I feel empty. But I enjoy preaching, to be honest with you. I don't know whether you enjoy listening to me or not. But stimulation comes when you're involved in some kind of worship activity. No matter what it is. It can happen. It doesn't always happen. But on the third shelf, folks, are great blessings. And the Lord wants to stimulate the spiritual man. For from that stimulation comes whatever joy we're going to have as a Christian. Whatever excitement that we're going to have. It's going to come as God touches us on the third shelf.